Thank you all for coming. We're glad we have some visitors with us, or not really visitors. They've been here a lot before, but we're glad to have you. And you'll have to put up with my speaking today. So the subject I've chosen is God's promises. And somebody did some work, I guess, on that, and they claim that there's over 7,000 promises God made to his people. So that's what we're going to talk about. We'll start kind of in the Old Testament and then come on up to the New Testament and talk about what he has promised us each and every day, which is very, very important. Starting off with the Old Testament, you remember what God promised Adam and Eve if they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They would die. He kept his promise, didn't he? In fact, he placed it on the human race. We'll all die. That's how that all came about. And, you know, it's kind of funny, people who believe in all these different theories of evolution and all that stuff, you know, we get reminded every time when somebody dies that God's put that curse on mankind for sinning in the garden. That's where disease and all the other things came from. So we know that they did eat of it, you know, and of course they didn't die immediately. What else did he promise them? Do you remember? He said he promised them they'd be as gods. They'd know good and evil. And you remember they got embarrassed and they hid in the trees and covered themselves with fig leaves to try to hide themselves from God. Of course, that didn't work either because God knew where they were all the time. It kind of reminds me of an old story of brother I used to worship with in St. Louis. He always used to tell us, he said, you know, when you confess your sins to God, it's not the first time he knew about it. He already knew, didn't he? But he still asked us to confess them. So move on down the line to Noah. Remember Noah and built the ark and had the flood and all that. And Noah did that all by faith. At that time, according to some of the scholars, they never had rain before. The dew watered the grass and the flowers and the trees. So Noah really didn't, he just accepted God's word that there's going to be a flood and there's going to rain. And he made Noah a promise. You remember what that was? You see it every time it rains, Joe? Rainbow. Yeah, God put a rainbow in the sky. There used to be a song about that. And so anyway, there's so many promises. I just picked out a few to kind of refresh your minds and think about it. You remember Abraham? You remember the promise that God made to Abraham? And what does that really mean? That means that was a promise that Jesus was going to come into the world and save us. Yes, and you know, he just talked to Abraham and told him to get up and go into another country and a land he'd show him. And Abraham did that all by faith. He didn't know where he was going or what was going to happen, you know. And of course, he promised him a son through his lineage. And Abraham kind of got short on that and decided that he would take his handmaid for his wife and do his own thing. We're pretty capable of that, I think. We do that all the time. We ignore what God tells us and decide to do what we think we should do. But anyway, we know how that happened. And of course, that's just one of the promises that made to Abraham. I really like the book of Psalms. There's a lot of promises in Psalms. It's very interesting Psalms, David, we think of David and God called him a man after his own heart, and yet he committed some of the worst sins that anybody could commit. He committed murder, he committed adultery. But if you read Psalms, you'll find out that David's heart really was right. His heart was for God. And I wrote down some Psalms that I'd like for you to read. I know Quetzal keeps some. Write scripture down for us. And first, before we go to Psalms, I missed this one, King Saul. You remember how King Saul became a king? They wanted a king. You remember why they wanted a king, Joe? They wanted a king because all the other nations had a king. That's why they wanted him. Of course, what you said is true. He really didn't want to give him a king, did he? But he talked him into it, if you can say it that way. Anyway, now I'm ready for David. I got off track there, talking about Psalms. I wrote down some Psalms that I think go home and read about David and the promises that God made him. Number one, Psalms 1, Psalms 8 and 9, 15 and 19, 23 and 24. And I think I'll turn and read maybe Psalms 1. You know, most everybody knows the 23rd Psalm. It's very popular. Most everybody knows it. I like the way David started off the book of Psalms. In fact, I'm going to read a couple of them. This Bible has thin pages. I can't hardly. He starts off by saying, "Blessed is the one who does not walk with the wicked, or stand with the sinners, stand in the way the sinners take, or sit in the company of walkers. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever they do prospers. Not so with the wicked. They are like the shaft that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." There's several promises just in that one psalm there. You know, he talks about blessed is the man. Well, he's the one blesses us. He's the one gives us the blessing. He promised us blessings. And so that's I'm just reading those because you can go home and read them and study them and meditate on them. Get this. I used to be able to quote the 23rd Psalm by heart, but I probably can't now, and this is a different translation. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There again, he talks about he makes me lie down in green pastures. That's a promise. He leads me. He refreshes me. See, there's the same things that he promises to us. And God is so good with his promises. And we make promises, but sometimes we don't keep them. But if you follow prophecy and all that in the Bible, you'll find out that God fulfilled every promise. There's not one that he did not fulfill. When you come down to the New Testament, there are many promises in it for you and I as well, and I think those are probably the ones that I want to kind of emphasize. He promised to be our Savior. God promised us a Savior. He promised us the coming of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us. He fulfilled that promise on the day of Pentecost when Peter spoke to the church. He promised us a church and those who are being called by God, Christians. He made many promises to us that we don't even probably think about. The number is almost beyond recognition. He promised us joy. He promised us love, peace. Joy usually comes after the storms. You know, that's kind of hard to think about sometimes in life. You know, and Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 when he says you'll go through many trials and tribulations in life. But he also says that God has prepared a place for us and that he's made us a promise that he will protect us and keep that place for us. So God made a lot of promises to us. God promised us peace. Bible says that we have a peace that passes human understanding in our relationship to God. That's a peace that the world doesn't have. We have a joy the world doesn't have. And of course, he promised us grace, forgiveness. In Romans 1:3, he talks about forgiveness. And Joe's reading this morning was very, very good, and it talks about the promises that we made, you know, how we're baptized, and we bury the old man of sin, and we come up a new man, and we need to follow in that. He promises security. Again, Peter chapter 1, 4 and 5, verses 4 and 5, God is protecting our home in heaven. Nobody can take it away from you. God is giving you that assurance that he has a place for you when you follow him. Confidence. We need confidence, and he promises confidence in God. Assurance. Bible says perfect love casts out fear. That's another promise. If we love him, we don't have to worry about all the issues and the problems and the things. He promised to lead us, refresh us. He gave us trust. He gave us hope. Made us wise, promised us wisdom. Remember in Solomon, he promised Solomon wisdom. Jesus is our rock and our redeemer. He gave us grace, he gave us forgiveness. Those are all promises from God. He prepared an eternal home for us. Again, that's a promise from God. He promised us that someday Jesus would come back and redeem his own. And if you study in 2 Peter 3:9, he says there that God is not slack in concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering that everyone would repent. And that's kind of a paraphrase. This translation here says the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting you to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And if you read up and start off with verse 2 in 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll find out that the people were murmuring and saying, well, you know, God said he's coming back, but here all these things are happening just like they always have, and spring, summer, winter, and so on, and he's not here. And that's why Peter answered them with this statement that God promised us that he would send the Savior to redeem us and take us home with him. There are just so many promises. I'm just skimming over and touching the edge of it. There are so many promises. I think the important ones that we need to think about and take and make part of our lives is God leading us and asking him to lead us in our everyday life, not only here in our service and in our worship and all that, but to lead us in the things we do. You know, he says there in one place in the Bible, he said, don't say that you're going to go to this city and you're going to make money and you're going to do this and you're going to do that. If it's God's will, you will go there. That's the way you need to address that. If God's will, I'll go there and I'll make money and so on and so forth. And it's easy to get caught up in our own little world and forget that God is in control of everything and that we need to consult him and look to him for guidance as to how we live, You know, the Psalm chapter 19, I really like that. I'm going to read it. I've read it to you before. But I like what David says there. He starts off by saying, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour out speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In heaven, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens. It makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth." And this is one of the things that I really like. "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." The Bible says that we have everything we need to know how to worship God and accept him and obey him. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They're sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned, in keeping them, there is great reward." You know, we've talked about that a number of times. You know, living a godly life has a lot of rewards. It saves you a lot of trouble if you can stay away from all the sin and the issues and the problems that are out there. And here's something I want you to listen to. "Who can discern their own errors?" You know, God is the one that tells us what's right and what's wrong. Our government doesn't. Our friends doesn't. That's where we learn what is right and what is wrong. And when you talk about these promises, you can't learn those promises unless you read this book. You have to study your Bible. This is where David really shines, in my opinion. He said, "Keep your servant also from willful sin." You know, most sins are willful. Most of the things we do, we know are wrong, but we do them anyway. It says, "Keep your servant from willful sins. May they not rule over me." Even if you sin, don't live for sin. Don't make it the rule of your life. "Who can discern?" Let's see, I'm lost here. "Then I will be blameless," David says, "innocent of great transgression. These words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer." You know, he talks about his hidden sins. This calls it hidden faults. "Forgive my hidden sins." We all have sins that we don't want to talk about and we don't want anybody to know, really. But David said, "Forgive me of those. And forgive me of the willful sins that I committed." So you see how that God, why God made him and said he's a man after his own heart. You know, you can see that in Psalms. That's one of the things, that's why I ask and suggest you read these Psalms that I quoted to you. Because, you know, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he repented, and you can see it's from the heart. He is very sad and sorrowful that he made that awesome mistake. Of course, God made him pay a price for it. And he will make us pay a price when we commit sins. It's I call it a product of sin. I always say there's a product of righteousness and a product of sin. And that's the way the Bible really puts it out. If you live a godly life, if you remember in chapter 1 there, he said, you know, "I know the way of the righteous, and I protect them." And he said, "But the way of the ungodly will perish, like the chaff as the wind drives away." He's talking about, when he talks about the chaff, he's talking about when they used to process, or I guess you'd call it, anyway, they separate the seed from the shaft and the straw and all that. I'm trying to think of, can't think, I can't call it a combine now, but a thrashing machine. And they had their threshing floors where they threshed their own grain. And the chaff and all that, of course, wasn't any good. They wanted the grain for food, food for their animals and so on. So the wicked are like the chaff. They threw it out and burned it. And so God, I think the Bible says that in some place that God does not hear a sinner's prayer. I've been questioned about that, and I can't find it, so maybe I'm wrong. But I do know that sin hinders your prayers with God. He makes that plain. And so my advice to you is to read your Bible, find out these promises that God has made by living a godly life, and the joy and the peace and the eternal home that he's promised us. This is just temporary. We're not here forever. This body is not made to last forever. When we put on that new body, it's eternal. And there won't be any pain, there won't be any sorrow. All the things that we suffer here won't be part of the home in heaven. It'll all be joy and peace and praise around the great white throne, as John calls it. And it'll be a glorious time. I like the song, "What a Day That Will Be When My Jesus I See. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be." When you get in the midst of trials and troubles, think about that. That'll lift you up. That's all I have to say this morning.